ॐ ज्ञानचिनिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
We're reading from the Division of Songs, in which Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes giving up activities which are detrimental to progress in devotional service. And the next song we're going to sing is very important because it tells us all the kinds of things we should give up if we are to become advanced devotees. Of course, devotional service is not just a matter of giving up so many things. It's positive activity. But some things have to be given up. That is being described in the following song. Tua bhakti patikul dharma jate roy param jatame kaha tajibon is choy. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that any kinds of religious activities which are unfavorable to the execution of your devotional service, I will very determinedly give them up. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Sarva Dhamman Parityaja Mame Kamsharanam Vrata. Give up all varieties of religion and just surrender to me. Sometimes people are surprised that why does God tell to give up religion? He's telling us to give up all superficial forms of religion. Prithivite Jaha Kichu Dharma Nama Chale Bhagavata Kahe Taha Paripurna Chale. All the different kinds of so-called religions which are going on in the world, according to the conclusion of Srimad Bhagavatam, they are all simply cheating. The real meaning of religion is that which brings us to the point of love of Krishna. Savaipam samparo dharmo yato bhaktir bhokshati ahaitukya prati hata yaya nasu prasivati. Real religion means, the topmost standard of religion means, savaipam samparo dharmo yato devotional service and the transcendental form. Such religion must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to fully satisfy itself. Often in the preaching of our Krishna consciousness, we are trying to convince people that we are preaching a bona fide religion, that we have just as much authority to speak as, for instance, Christians or Muslims or whatever. But actually, we should speak. And those who are propagating all kinds of funny ideas in the name of religion, they should keep silent. We may not say it very loudly to everybody, but the actual fact is that apart from Krishna consciousness, there's no real religion in the world. It's all cheating. Practically they don't even speak of God anymore. At least I've seen in the Christian church, they'll speak so many things and nothing about God. We have no idea who is God. Religious understanding is in three divisions. Sambandha Abhideya Prayojan means understanding our relationship with God, acting in that relationship, developing that relationship, and entering into that relationship in the spiritual world. So many so-called religious practices, they have no idea who is God. Nor do they want to know who is God. If anyone was sincere to know who is God, they would welcome the information being given in the books of the Hare Krishna movement. But they're simply stuck in some ritualistic process. They're not actually sincere to advance further. Because they have no idea of God, they imagine some forms. Or they say that God is no form at all. Both of these approaches to understanding God, they're not actually approaches to understanding God at all. It is rather a choice to remain in ignorance. And many people who present themselves as authorities on God, big famous religious leaders, the Pope, for instance. If you ask him who is God, he cannot give a clear idea. He's supposed to be leading people towards God. See the fast. Fast, you know what this word means? Fast means it's just like a foolish drama. Foolish drama. The man who's supposed to be leading people towards God, he himself doesn't know who God is. But when people come with real knowledge of God in the form of the Hare Krishna movement, they reject, oh, this is not good. This is a cult, this is a sect. This is not Russian culture. Russian culture means we should go to church and then come from church and eat a big plate of meat. This is real religion. They don't know what is religion, they don't want to know. They are demons in the form of religious people. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur wants to be away from such people. Similarly, there are worshippers of demigods. They want to show that they are Worshipping so many different gods. They say we worship all the gods. Worship all the gods means you accept none as master. If you accept anyone as a master, that means there should be one master.
If you accept anyone?
If you really surrender to anyone, you have to have one master. So demigod worshippers, that's also bhakti pratipuna. That's against devotion to Krishna. In so many different ways, so many people are trying to avoid both. Yesterday we discussed different philosophers. All these philosophies, they're all elaborate excuses to avoid surrendering to Krishna. After going through all these different philosophies, what is their conclusion? Engage in sense gratification. You don't need a big philosophy to engage in sense gratification.
It's
like they have this Freud. Freud teaches sexism. So, they're saying we should teach this. But you don't need to teach people this. Just like the cats and dogs, they can engage in sex life very successfully without Mr. Freud to teach them anything. You learn some philosophy that should be on a higher subject. So many big books writing and making PhD and all these things. And the ultimate conclusion is just to engage in sex. So not only Freud, but all these philosophies. It's all a big elaborate intellectual structure, but at the root of it all is the desire for sense gratification. Similarly, all these so-called religions, they are much more interested in engaging in sense gratification than surrendering to God. Even Islam, this word Islam is supposed to mean surrender to God. But their idea of surrender is you surrender to God and you get good reward. You'll go to heaven and enjoy beautiful women. So it's all personal motivation. Real religion means dharmasya. Dharmasya apadargasya narakalpaya apadarkate. Dharmasya. Narakasya dharmakantasya. I don't remember. Anyway, it means that one should not engage in religion for sense gratification. Religion should lead us to the highest goal of life on the path of apavarya. Apavarya means the path of liberation. Not in personal liberation, but liberation in the service of Krishna. So our devotees, they should understand this also very clearly. Sometimes our devotees come to Krishna consciousness, but they're still attached to materialistic concepts of religion. They may still be attached to some demigod worship, or they may be attached to some materialistic kind of religion, some bogus incarnation. Someone was saying to me the other day that she's also chanting Hare Krishna, but what's wrong with Chinmayananda? So this means no proper understanding. But sometimes people, they want to mix up Christianity with Krishna consciousness or something like this. So there's no harm to honor Jesus Christ. There's no harm to honor demigods. But you shouldn't think that you can get any spiritual substance from any church that's going on in the present day and age. Eating meat and drinking wine and cheating others in the name of religion should be avoided. They cannot help us. They can delude us. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching us not to be sentimental in the name of Krishna consciousness. Sometimes people call this fanaticism. Well, you may call it whatever you like. But Krishna says, Sarvadhamam parityaja mame kamsharanam raja. He says, give up all other varieties. Surrender to me only. Actually, Krishna is not asking us what he asked Arjuna to do. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna come again in this age. He asks us to chant Hare Krishna. Arjuna was given a very severe test. But Lord Chaitanya, he wants at least this much, that we should chant Hare Krishna. It means without any material desire. Without trying to mix Krishna consciousness up in some kind of religious eclectic soup. Tua bhakti bhare mok shangame kharibo. Gauranga virodhi janna mokka na hiribo. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I'll give up the association of those who are inimical to your service. You won't associate. So they think, well, how is that possible? Because the world is filled up with people who are not devotees. Point is that we mix with materialistic people only to preach to them. Or if we have some business with them, whatever, we may say yes, this, that. Only as much as necessary. Devotee cannot make friends with non-devotees. Just like oil cannot mix with water. The nature is quite different. It's very contaminating. The association with non-devotees is very contaminating. Friendship means similar interests. But we have no similar interests to those of the non-devotees. So we cannot make friends with non-devotees. And those who are against Here, Bhakti Rajaratna says that those who are against Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I won't even see their face. Actually, that is the strict standard. One should not even see the face of Nandamani. Difficult in the modern age. Shastra says, if you see the face of an offender, you should immediately jump in the Ganga. And we can't do that here. We could jump in the river Kama, and I guess it wouldn't have the same effect. But then you'd have to be jumping in and out all day. So we should take a different kind of bath. Chant Hare Krishna. That will help to keep us clean. Bhakti Rajaratna says, I won't live in a place which is against, is not favorable for your devotional service. You see, in Bhaktivinoda Thakur's life, he was posted in the responsible post as a magistrate. And his job, his profession, took him to many places. He changed his residence many times. But he was always anxious to live in Mayapur. In those days, of course, the Navadvip area was not, Mayapur area was not very developed. It was Bhaktivinoda Thakur, it was by Bhaktivinoda Thakur's endeavors that Mayapur was rediscovered as the birthplace of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was very anxious to live there, and he was always trying to resign his job so he could go and live there. But eventually he got a posting in Krishnanagar, which is close to Mayapur, and he took up his residence in Swananda Sukhada Kunj, which means that's now. His house is still there, that's in Surugan, just opposite Mayapur. So we may not be so fortunate as to live in Mayapur. So, of course, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted that this preaching and this chanting would go on all over the world. So Prabhupada always recommended that wherever we are, we make that like Mayapur or Vrindavan. Live with devotees, or turn our home into the spiritual world. How to do that is described by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in another song. How by performing the activities of devotional service in his home, his home becomes no different from the world. Bhaktir or Priya Karje Nahi Parirati. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I won't take any pleasure in any work which is not pleasing, not favorable for devotional service. So as much as possible, devotees, whatever work they do, that should also be favorable to, or at least not detrimental to, devotional service. Bhakti-virodhi granta pathna kalibo. He says that I won't read any book which is against the conclusion of devotional service. The word for book used here is granta. So there are different words for book in Sanskrit and Vrindavan. Now, granta particularly refers to religious books or scriptures. So there are different religious scriptures, and some of them, they superficially go against the conclusion of devotional service to Krishna. But actually, all the shastras are meant for understanding Krishna. Vede Ramayane Chaiva Purane Bharate Tata Adam Ante Jalabhuja Hari Sarvatra Vyate. All these scriptures, the Vedas, Ramayana, Puranas, Mahabharata, all of them, from beginning to middle to end, they are simply glorifying Lord Sri Hari, the Supreme Personality of the Godhead. However, in some scriptures, it superficially appears that other religious processes are recommended. Different demigods are praised, and the worship of different demigods is recommended. Some books, they recommend us following the path of yoga, or karma, or gift. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, I have no interest to read such books. There are so many religious books. The devotees in the Krishna conscious movement, the most important books are Bhagavad Gita as it is, Teachings of Lord Chaitanya, Nectar of Devotion, and Srimad Bhagavatam. There are many, many books to come in. And that is not a bad thing, that is a good thing. Our acharyas have written so many books so that we can take advantage of their association by reading them. However, the basis, the philosophical basis of this Krishna conscious movement is delineated in these four books. Therefore, we should read them again and again to get the proper idea of devotional service. Otherwise, if we don't properly understand what is Krishna consciousness, then we will speculate and we won't get the proper idea of who is Krishna or how to serve him. Now, if even Vedic literatures which are not conducive to devotional service are not to be read, then what to speak of other books? There are many books sometimes we see devotees are very anxious to read. But we should be very careful what we read. Particularly, we should be very careful of books which are written by mundane scholars, who always have a mundane view of Krishna consciousness. They write about Krishna consciousness as if it's just another subject to study. Just like some scholars study history, some study geography, some study physics, some study linguistics, and some study Vedic culture, Indology, or this. And they always want to describe everything in terms of their mundane experiences. Lord Chaitanya was born at such and such a date, he died at such and such a date. Lord Nityananda became successful by getting enough funds by preaching to rich people. Lord Chaitanya died of a septic toe. This is all kinds of crazy things. Rascal. So sometimes our devotees become enamored by these mundane scholars. The tendency towards intellectualism is another fascination of Maya. So they also start to write all kinds of things in the tone of the mundane scholars. So if anyone is writing in this tone, we should immediately reject them. Now we should carefully differentiate between those devotees who are writing in a way that will convince mundane scholars, and between those who have already been convinced by mundane scholars, who, as like Prabhupada said, that Bengali saying, when you go to touch the water, when you go to catch fish, you don't get pulled into the water.
But Prabhupada
said, you know, out of the water, you don't get pulled into the water. Not a particularly Vaishnava example.
And that serves its
purpose. So anyway, the point is we should stick to those writings which are very clearly beneficial to our devotional system. So you may ask, well, how can I know what's favorable in my business? Yeah. Well, that's why you're supposed to have a spiritual master to guide you.
Probably.
If you're in doubt, you can ask,
yes,
is this good or not? Practically anything which is strictly following the line of Srila Prabhupada, that is good. But even that, you can't read everything. Of course, in Russia, not so many books are translated.
Yeah.
Gradually, they will be. But anyway, the basis of all our Krishna conscious reading in this ISKCON movement is Srila
Prabhupada's
books. Same thing, we should not hear explanations about scriptures which are against the conclusion of devotional service. You will find many Mayavadis, they also talk about bhakti, because they don't have anything else to talk about. If they just talk about Brahman and we are all one and all this kind of thing, no one will come to listen to them, because it's dry and boring. No one wants to listen to such things. So they also tell stories from Mahabharata and Ramayana and Srimad Bhagavatam, and they speak about bhakti, how you should dedicate yourself to God. And it all sounds very nice, and many people come to hear them, because if you speak about bhakti, naturally there is some attraction. Today, the sentiment of Indian people is there. There are many, many people who have a sentiment for hearing about devotion. But, after all, Mayavadis are Mayavadis. So even if they speak, if they superficially speak about devotion, they're not to be heard from, because their conclusion is always different. Just like I heard once one of the so-called Shankaracharyas giving a lecture. Shankaracharya was the original propagator of Mayavada philosophy. But nowadays there are so many people calling themselves Shankaracharya. They have adopted the name. So at Kumbh Mela, most of the Shankaracharyas were in a big, big tent for them to speak. So from outside, I listened to one of these Shankaracharya's speaking rooms. And he was telling all these things, different pastimes of Krishna, how Draupadi, she was devoted to Krishna, and every woman should be devoted like that to Krishna. So all he was speaking about was devotion, and it all sounded very nice. So he just finished off his lecture by saying that, and you should all know that you're all the same, you're all one with God. So all so much talk about devotion, but at the end, the same poison. And we are all God. So we should not listen to non-devotees, even though it may sound nice. So there are many superficial devotees. They are very interested in listening to people who sound nice. They may talk about very high subjects of Krishna, but their aim is simply to attract many cheap devotees. Practically, if we think a lecture sounds nice, we should be very careful of such a lecture. And if we hear a lecture which is strong and cutting, we should know that is very good for us. A real speaker should speak what know what the audience needs to hear, not what they like to hear. He's not supposed to be an entertainer. There's so many different kinds of entertainers. Some people go onto stage and they juggle some balls. Others throw, they show an empty hat and then they pull a rabbit out of it. Other people do gymnastic feats. Some people imitate the barking of dogs. So there are so many different entertainers. And foolish people go to them and clap and laugh. That was fun. So a speaker on Krishna consciousness is not supposed to be an entertainer. That people will go for a little entertainment and they'll come out, oh, that was nice. But if they come out with their determination to surrender to Krishna stronger, with their material desires cut, then they should know that that lecture is worth hearing. Or if they've learned something that they need to learn about Krishna, that is good. Or they've heard something that they need to hear. Just like people should hear, we are not this body. We should hear this again and again and again. We don't very much need to hear about Krishna and the gopis. That comes with very high state. When we're very much advanced, too hard to hear at the neophyte stage is simply artificial. We should hear that we are not this body. We should hear it again and again and again. We are not this body, we are not this body, we are not this body. We have nothing to enjoy in this material. I mean, so people think this is boring. I don't want to hear this. If you don't want to hear it, that's a very good sign that you must hear it. The doctor must give the medicine according to the need of the patient, not according to the desire of the patient. Karanga Bhajit San Chirtana Imani. I won't. He's talking about going on Tirthayatra, visiting holy places. This is still common system in India, visiting holy places. There are so many holy places in India. Uncounted. Practically everywhere is a holy place. Nidan Rajan, Bharata Rajan, Bharata Rajan is a holy place. Practically every inch of the country has been blessed by some avatar or bona fide avatar of Vishnu or some great devotee. Lord Krishna, Lord Ramachandra, the Pandavas, they all, Balaram, Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya, they all traveled extensively and purified the whole country. Of course, it's a hot country and people, they take bath regularly in the rivers. It's a great pleasure for people to take bath in the river. So, practically all the rivers have been bathed in at some point of time by an avatar of God or his great devotees. They're all holy rivers. Some are more famous than others, but frankly, they're all holy rivers. But many of the holy places, they're dedicated to different demigods. Of course, Lord Chaitanya used to visit them also to offer respect to the different demigods and also to preach. Because holy places are demigods, they're also gathering places for different people. So when Lord Chaitanya was traveling here and there throughout India, he visited so many holy places, even those of demigods. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur doesn't want to visit any holy place which was not visited by Lord Chaitanya.
No, that's what
in other words, he wants to keep his attention completely on Krishna. Not to deviate even slightly. Ame, come, Krishna says. Come to me only. Bhakti Bhadok Jnana Karma Tucha Jana. He says, I know that the paths of karma and jnana, fruitive activities and mental speculation, are simply obstacles in the path of devotional service. And anyway, they're very insignificant. That same word is used in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Is that jnana karma mage ati tuchabha? He says that the paths of karma and jnana, they have no power, no, very insignificant. Bhakti bhadav kale nakari ador. He says that any time which is an obstacle to devotional service, I won't respect that or give much importance to that. Any time which is not any time which is an obstacle to devotional service. Actually, I can't exactly understand what this means. A time which is inimical to devotion. But maybe we can give some suggestion. Just like people in Russia, we may say that the time of Brezhnev was very good. During that time, everything was wonderful. But devotees don't think it was wonderful because during that time, they were not allowed to perform their Krishna conscious activities.
No.
So that suggestion I give you. Bhakti Bahirmukh Nija Jane Jani Pad. Now, this is a very interesting thing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that even my own relatives, my own family members, If they are against devotion to Krishna, then I will consider them outsiders. Bhakti bhadika sriva karibo gorjam. Any desire that is, again, the same word, that is an obstacle to devotional service, I will give it up. So this is needed. We all have so many different desires, millions and millions of desires. Even there are so many desires which may be in our hearts in seed form. We're not even aware of them. Whatever they are, we have to give them up. If we want Krishna, we have to give them up. That's what Bhakti Rav Thakur is recommending. Not even to consider them. We may have desires to be rich, to be famous, to go to the heavenly planets. We may have some desire just to live a comfortable life. There's so many varieties of material desires. Narottam Das Thakur says, Maya Maya Vidas Karinana Abhilash. Becoming the servant of Maya, I have so many different desires.
I'm not all of
them.
So
what to do with them? Some of these people come and say, I can't control my mind. I have so many different desires. So what to do? But you know, Chakra says, give them up. You should know what they all are, they're all useless. But it's all described in the Bhagavad Gita that we're living in the material world, and we're entangled in the material world, which is just like a whole complex banyan tree. If you've seen how to get through this, part of knowledge and detachment. Two blades, one side is knowledge, one side is detachment. This example is used many times in scripture. Give it up, give it up, give it up. And take up the desire to serve. Bhakta prasapta ananda kari graha. I won't take any food which is offered by non-devotees. That Chaitanya Mahaprabhu recommends. Ishoyer anna khaile dushta hai man. If we eat food given by non-devotees, the mind becomes contaminated. So, what's wrong with the mind being contaminated? Man dushta haile nahe Krishna sharan. If the mind is contaminated, then we can't remember Krishna. Krishna visharan haile jivan nishval. And if we don't remember Krishna, then our life is spoil, useless. So this is an important principle. We should only eat food given or cooked by devotees. All these are very basic principles. Don't read things by non-devotees. Not to get absorbed in the newspaper. Important duty to read the newspaper from top to bottom every day. What is in the newspaper? One politician said this, another politician said that. Someone else got voted, and someone got killed. Mostly a bunch of lies anyway. All these newspapers and magazines, they are simply giving a materialistic view of life. Just like if you, especially they have these magazines like Time, Newsweek, or in India Today. I don't know if they have such things in Russia, maybe not yet. But anyway, they're simply promoting a materialistic concept of life. That so-and-so politician from the United Nations rushed to the scene of battle. No, they don't go to the scene of battle, they go to some negotiating table. Two countries are fighting, so a representative from the United Nations goes to meet their representatives in a 5-star hotel at least 10,000 miles away from the fighting. And they discuss so many things.
Champagne.
I remember Prabhupada Vishnu spoke to me once. He showed me some newspaper. And there was a photograph of these politicians in England, and they were making a new political party, and they're holding a press conference. And on the table, some of them had beer and some had wine. And you could see from the looks on their faces, they're all completely drunk. They're on television, national television, and all big press reporters keep taking photos, they're all completely drunk. And these are the people who are supposed to lead the country, big drunkards. Well, I heard a little more tax. More tax. So what does the newspaper mean? Someone killed someone else. One politician told a bunch of lies. Politicians, they don't know how to speak the truth. They're practically incapable. And even if they speak something which is true, they have to mix it up with something which is untrue. And they may be afraid that if they speak something true, then people won't respect them as a proper politician. They're expert at presenting facts as unfacts.
Yes.
Vote for me and everything will be good. Here I am, come to Hare Krishna. come to save you all. The solution to all your problems. Vote for me. So, newspaper means simply all the rascals are speaking. All the rascals have to say. So we should read Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam Purana Ramalam Yad Vaishnanam Kriyam. Srimad Bhagavatam is very dear to the devotees because it is spotless, it is pure. Because all these newspapers, just like you see here, at least in England, the most popular newspaper. Why is the most popular? Because every day we have naked girl photos. People are not interested to read any news, they are just looking for naked girl photos. And every day they see one girl, another girl, as if this is something special. One girl, another girl. It's just punapuna targeted charvanana.
What are they
doing? The truth. They have their wife or girlfriend at home. They're thinking, let me see, what's today's newspaper? What girl is the. Everything, except Krishna consciousness, is all nastiness. That we should understand very clearly. But you know, Thakur is teaching us not to be attached to this material world. Therefore, he says, Jaha kichu bhakti pratikul vali jani, tajivo janate taha, enis chodani. He says, after going through describing so many different things, he says, whatever there is which is inimical to bhakti, now I make this firm determination, give it up, give it up. Makatini no pari prabho charane, mami shakati prati kulya bhajane. Bhakti Ajanta says that I'm falling at the lotus feet of you, Krishna, and begging the strength to give up everything which is unfavorable. So this is very important. We may understand that we should give up everything unfavorable, but for whatever reason, due to our misplaced attachment, we find it difficult to do so. We want to surrender to Krishna, but we feel so many material attachments. So we should pray to Krishna for the strength to do what we should do. Hare Krishna. So, any question? It means that the disciple who accepts the Guru, here is someone who can lead me to Krishna. Therefore, he surrenders to the Guru. Surrender means he accepts that whatever instruction he gives, I have to accept it. I am a fool, I don't know what is best for me. Therefore, I should follow the direction of someone who does. And the Guru takes the responsibility to direct the disciple properly. The same way that he has heard from his spiritual master and from Paramparama. This is a transcendental relationship. But if someone accepts a guru just out of some sentiment, he looks nice. If I accept him as a guru, I think he won't chastise me too much. He just tells nice stories. Or I want to accept a guru so that he'll bless me, so that I can be successful in my material life. This is not transcendental. Therefore, guru, who's actually a guru, he should be very careful to see the people who are accepting his disciples actually want a transcendental relationship and not a material relationship.
He's saying how to get some proper qualities and all the things to become a disciple.
Proper quality means you have to be prepared to surrender. That is the basic quality. You should know, if you're going to accept a guru, you should have some idea what you're entering into. It's like if you're going to go to a shop to buy, for instance, a tape recorder, you have some idea what a tape recorder is, so that you have to take some preliminary information. Therefore, Shastra is there, devotees are there, and can guide us. And guru is also there. You can recognize and accept. Any other question?
You said that the external energy of the
point of view, there's not much difference. They're all his energies. Krishna in Bhagavad Gita says this Maya is my energy. It's just like an electrician who knows how to utilize electrical energy either for heating or for cooling. So they're all expansions, all these energies are coming from Krishna. So the material energy that acts to bewilder the conditioned soul. But that can also act on devotees to help them to come closer to Krishna. The same energy appears to act in the same way, but is actually, according to the individual, acting in a different way. For instance, what is the activities of the material energy? That is giving a good result and bad result. Now, if a materialist gets a bad result, for instance, he has an accident, he is simply suffering his bad karma. But if a devotee has an accident, he takes it as a lesson from Krishna that I could die at any time, so So therefore, I should now be very serious about Krishna. Or some good result. If a materialist suddenly gets a lot of money, then he simply uses the money to go to hell. But a devotee, a mature devotee, takes it as a gift from Krishna and uses it in Krishna's service. Actually, the material energy is also acting to help the materialist to come to Krishna. The purpose of the way she acts is the same for the non-devotees and for the devotees. The whole creation is set up for the benefit of the conditioned souls. The conditioned souls are thinking that the material universe is a place for my enjoyment. But the real purpose of the creation is to bring the conditioned souls back to Krishna. But because they are very inimical to the idea of serving Krishna, therefore the material energy acts in such a way that they can be in the illusion of enjoying this material world. But ultimately she's acting in such a way that the conditioned souls may finally awake to their proper self.